Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was began sharing a new series, a new topic on what we call the reality of redemption. And I want to continue that this morning. Last time we looked at the resurrection as the foundation. If you remember, it was Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday morning. We looked at the resurrection being the foundation of our redemption. Well, I want to continue and just build on that stone that I laid back then. And going to answer the question this morning, what does it mean to be redeemed? You know, we use this word in church all the time, to be redeemed. Or we say, I'm redeemed. And a lot of our songs that we sing use these long words, redemption or redeemed. And the word literally means to buy back or to purchase. The root of it has the idea or the understanding, it's to pay a ransom in order to liberate something or deliver something or someone. And the best example we get of that, or we can understand of that today, is where perhaps a child or an adult even is taken hostage or kidnapped. And they demand a ransom paid for their release. And that's what redemption is. It's a ransom that's paid in order to release someone or to deliver something or liberate them. And we're going to turn to our text verse, which we've been taking, which is found in Galatians chapter 3. And verse 13, a very familiar scripture, we often read it, often quote it. Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now this verse tells us that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us. Now that word there has puts it into the past tense. It's already been done. It's already accomplished. Christ has redeemed us. In the process of our study this morning, we're going to be looking at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they talk about that we will be redeemed, because they're looking forward to the cross. In the New Testament, we're looking back at the cross, so it's already accomplished. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I've touched on the cross, because let's consider this question. How are we redeemed? Well, in the scriptures, in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we read these words. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This scripture tells us that we've been bought with a price. The ransom has been paid. And how did Christ redeem us? He says, you've been bought. You know, in the case of a kidnap, a handover of cash normally If it's a political thing, it might be the release of a prisoner or somebody in held captive. But generally speaking, it's the price. It's a cash sum. You know, somebody will take a person, a child normally, and say, look, you give me £200,000 and you can have the boy back. Or you can have your daughter back. You pay the money, you can have them back. You know, and it says here that we are bought at a price. So the ransom has been paid. And that price, as we've remembered this morning, was the blood of Jesus. The blood was shed so that we could be redeemed and set free. You are not your own, the scripture says. Now, did you know your life does not belong to you? If you are Christ, your life does not belong to you. You belong to Jesus. He's bought you. He's paid the price for you. In actual fact, your life belongs to God for two reasons, in two ways. One, by right of creation. God created you in the first place. So he owns you. He's got the copyright or the patent on your life. He created you. And secondly, he's paid the redemption price for you as well. You know, so we've got no business saying, well, it's my life, I'll do what I want. It's not your life, and you can't do what you want. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus. He's paid the price for you. And that price that's been paid is the blood of Christ. Peter tells us, again, another familiar scripture, one we are well familiar with, in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through to verse 20. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. You've not been redeemed with corruptible things. You've not been redeemed with silver or gold, which perishes and which doesn't last. But he goes on in verse 19, he says, but you've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, Christ was revealed, Christ came, Jesus came, he came as a baby, and he came to pay the price, redemption's price, so that we could be free, so that we could be, we often say the word saved, but as we develop this morning, you know, I'm going to show this morning that really we've been delivered and liberated from Satan's control and Satan's grasp. So you're not your own. Your life doesn't belong to you. You've been bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Christ. You know, Peter here writes that it's more precious than silver and gold. You know, how precious is the blood of Christ? Let's just consider that. How precious is the blood of Jesus? You know, Peter says it's more precious than silver or gold. You know, there is no monetary value that can be attached to the blood of Christ. How much are you worth that Jesus would give his life's blood for you? It's funny for us to think about, you know, because perhaps we don't often think like that. You know, when we remember that Jesus died and he shed his blood and he paid the price for us, you know, how precious was that blood that was shed? For some, it doesn't mean anything to them. For many Christians, it doesn't mean really anything to them. And that's really sad, because it cost Jesus his life. to redeem us. You know, Peter particularly uses this word precious, precious, precious blood. This wasn't the blood of just another lamb or another goat. This was the blood of the Son of God. God's own Son. And yet very often when we come to the table of the Lord and we pray and we're in worship or we're just talking, we tend to slip into the mode where we say, well, Lord, I'm not worthy of your sacrifice. I'm not worthy to receive all that you've given. If you say you're not worthy, you belittle the blood of Christ, because the blood was precious and it cost Jesus his life to redeem you. Jesus considered you very worthy to die for. You are worth much more than you think. So we shouldn't say I'm not worthy, because what we're effectively saying when we say those words, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth the sacrifice. I'm not worth the price being paid. And yes, you are, because Jesus considered you worthy. The price was paid. His precious blood. When we say I'm not worthy, we say it because we think we're being humble before God. But actually what we're being is pride. It's a form of pride. It's false humility. Because we're saying, well, I'm not worth what you've done, Lord Jesus. I'm not worth the shed blood of Christ. I'm not worthy to receive anything. And what we think is we're putting ourselves down, but what we're actually doing is we're building ourselves up. It's humility in reverse. The spirit of pride. The blood of Christ is so precious. So precious. And Jesus gave it for you and me. Jesus shed his blood for us. Oh, heaven considered us worthy to receive all that Jesus paid. You know, you might go to a shop in town, and there might be something there that you want. And it might have a price tag on it, which you consider, well, it's a little more than I wanted to pay. And you might look at it and you might say, well, it's not worth that price. And so you don't take it. But when God looked at you and he looked at me, there was no thought of, well, the price is too high. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to go the way of the cross. He was willing to shed his blood so that we could be redeemed, bought back. The ransom was paid. Well, why did we need to be born? We're talking about redemption as being bought back. Why did we need to be born? We were God's through creation. God created us. We were his. Well, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 50, we read two verses, the first two verses of the chapter. It says, thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of your mother's divorce, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why when I came was there no man? Why when I called was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. In verse 1 it tells us that we've sold ourselves because of iniquity. We sold ourselves. He says, did I sell you? Did I give you away? No, God didn't give us away. God didn't sell us. God didn't hand us over to the enemy. We sold ourselves through sin, through iniquity. But thank God, verse 2 says, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? You know, God is able to redeem. He's able to buy back. And that's what salvation's plan was all about. Jesus coming to buy us back. In chapter 52, it says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. So here these two chapters in Isaiah tell us that we've sold ourselves because of sin. But we shall be redeemed. At a price, but not a cash price. Not with money, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's how we're to be redeemed. And that's why we need to be bought back. That's why we need to be redeemed, because of sin, we sold ourselves into the enemy. In the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, we read the account of the Garden of Eden. And where the serpent came to Eve and deceived her. And in verses 4 and 5, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. But she said, well, God has said that we can eat of any fruit of the trees of the garden except this tree here, which is in the middle of the garden. And she said, God has said that if we eat it, the day we eat it, we shall die. And the serpent said, no, you won't. You won't die at all. In actual fact, what will happen, God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent deceived her. He tricked her. And just keep your finger in Genesis there, and just want to read a verse from the book of Peter. In the second book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of Christ. It was talking about people in the church that were out to deceive one another, and they were saying that we've got into a new way of freedom. It doesn't matter what we do, we can live how we like. We're not under law, but we're under grace. We've got that freedom. He said, well, come and just live and do what you want to do. And Peter writes, and he says, they promise them liberty. Those types of people. He says, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he's brought into bondage. And there we saw in the Garden of Eden that the devil came and said, it's okay, you won't die. You can be free. You can be like God. And Eve was deceived. And she took of the fruit, she sinned. And her husband, Adam, took with her. And they fell. And that act was them selling themselves. They sold out to the devil, to Satan. They sold themselves into bondage. Satan promised freedom, but brought him to bondage. Just like Peter said of those ones in the church that were leading people astray. They promised liberty, but they're brought into bondage. Again, the Apostle Paul writes, don't have to turn it off, but in Romans 7 verse 14 he tells us that we're sold under sin. Sold into slavery through sin. And sin produces death. And those who commit sin, Jesus said, are slaves of sin. In John 8. And Paul picks that argument up again in Romans chapter 6. And verse 6 he says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. A little bit later on in the chapter, in verses 16, he says, don't you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves, whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Yes, we were sold into sin. We committed sin, and as a result of that, we became in bondage to sin. We were slaves to sin. But Christ redeemed us. And Paul could say, look, he says, we've been set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. Later on in this chapter, this very chapter, Paul says, and the very last verse says, the wages of sin is death. Now wages is money paid for something done. It's like a redemption price. Work is done, and to redeem that time, the employer pays wages. And the price due for sin is death. And Jesus paid the ransom. He gave his life and redeemed us from sin and death. Just a couple of scriptures to finish with this morning. Because having been sold, we needed a redeemer. We needed to be redeemed. And in the book of Leviticus, that Old Testament book, which many people skip and miss out, because it's just a book of laws. Leviticus chapter 25. You know, this whole chapter really deals with issues about redemption. Talks about how to redeem property, how to redeem land, how to redeem slaves. You know, how in the 50th year, it was Jubilee year, and things were redeemed and set free. And in verses 47 and 48 of this chapter, we read these words. Now, if a sojourner or a stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwells by him, or who dwells near to him, becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner close to you, or to a member of the stranger's family. What was happening here is that he said, look, he says, if people come in, strangers, foreigners, who are they're richer than what you are, because you're poor, and you're unable to, you sell yourself, or you sell yourself into slavery or bondage to the rich man, or the stranger. Verse 48 says, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. Well, that's good news. After we've been sold, we can be redeemed again. It's possible for us to be redeemed after we've been sold. It says, after he's sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him. Oh, we've got a brother this morning who's paid the redemption price. We've got a brother in glory whose blood was accepted. The ransom was paid. And we've been redeemed. You know, the Redeemer was a kinsman, a next of kin, or was the nearest living, or the closest living male relative to the person. The Redeemer, your next of kin, a brother. And it was the responsibility of the kinsman Redeemer, that's what they called him. Verse 48 tells us it was his responsibility to redeem from slavery. He paid the price to the stranger to redeem his brother from slavery. In verse 25 of this chapter, Leviticus 25:25, it was the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer to redeem from debt and poverty. To pay off the debt that was owed. In the book of Numbers, chapter 35, it tells us that the Redeemer kinsman was responsible to redeem the life of one murdered. So if somebody murdered your brother, the kinsman Redeemer had the right to require his blood. If he was caught, the kinsman Redeemer could put him to death. Now we don't live by those rules today. And also in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us, Deuteronomy 25, and Jesus touched on this, or the religious leaders touched on this when they came questioning Jesus. It was the responsibility of the kinsman redeemer to continue the family line. To take his brother's wife and raise up family. And we sold ourselves under sin to the enemy. But Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, our brother, paid the redemption price so that we could be free. Free from slavery. Free from debt and poverty. Freedom from death. And that the family line might be continued through us. That God's family here on earth will be continued through his church. How precious is the blood of Christ? It paid the price for our redemption. But we're not our own, as we said at the beginning. We were bought at a price, but now we belong to God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says that we've been redeemed and now we're the Lord's freedman. That means we live to serve the Lord. We know Jesus didn't redeem us. He didn't buy us back to make us slaves. He bought us back to set us free. And he gives us the choice how we live. You know, the slave was taken from the house of bondage. Generally in the slave trade, it was you bought the slave from the marketplace, from the one who'd taken him in the first place. He was captured by the slave trader, and he was in bondage, in chains. And he was sold to a household where he was kept in bondage. The slave was redeemed at market from the slave trader. But when Christ redeemed us, he didn't take us into his house to be a slave. He brought us in to be a freed man, a freed woman. We live to serve the Lord. Now that's not out of through bondage, but Jesus gives us really the key. He says, look, he says, it's up to you. You've got the free choice. It's your will. Do what you please. In that sense, serve me or not. But I've paid the price to set you free. And finally, again, it's the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. He gives us a word of advice, or a piece of encouragement, really. In Galatians 5, verse 1. says this, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Christ has set us free, he's redeemed us. He's taken us from the slave market that the devil had us. Taken us from the house of bondage. Redeemed us, paid the ransom. Paul says, don't go back into bondage. Don't go back into slavery. Don't become entangled again with that yoke. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has redeemed you. We've been redeemed thanks to the blood of Jesus. Thanks to that sacrifice. It's already done. There's nothing more for us to do other than to receive what Jesus has done for us. The price has been paid. And as we continue in these studies on the reality of redemption, we're going to begin to look at what we've been redeemed from. It's showing why we needed a redeemer today. Because we were enslaved to sin, enslaved to Satan. And we needed a redeemer. But as we continue in our studies, we can look at what we've been redeemed from. You know, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians tells us. You know, the curse was threefold. And we'll touch on this perhaps next time, but it was death, poverty, and sickness. And Christ has redeemed us from those things and other things. But we'll look at those. We've really run out of time today, but you know, the Lord will bless us. We've been redeemed. You know, the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We should say so. We should let the world know we've been redeemed. We should let the whole of creation know we've been redeemed. And just to put in the boot, we should just make sure that the devil knows it as well. We've been redeemed. Amen.